The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, May 6th through Sunday, May 12th, 2024. The commentary for May was written by Kira Austin Young, an Episcopal priest currently serving at the Episcopal Church of St. Mary the Virgin in San Francisco, though she also has roots in Texas and Tennessee. She is the author of Pro-Choice and Christian, Reconciling Faith, Politics, and Justice, and has been a contributing writer for other publications as well. The commentary for Monday, May 6th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 10. Then the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" I identify strongly with the disciples asking Jesus why he teaches in parables because I find myself wanting to reach through the pages of the Bible and ask Jesus to just say what he means. Being removed from the context of Jesus by several millennia does not make interpreting the parables any easier. Neither we nor the original hearers are able to grasp the fullness of God's reign, so it makes sense that Jesus would use metaphor and story to grant us a sliver of understanding, not to obscure the truth, but to present it. The other gift of his parables is how they make Jesus' teachings come to life in vivid, memorable ways. The concept of the Good Samaritan has resonance outside of Christian circles. Although the parables might confound and frustrate us at times, sitting with them in prayer opens them and us up to new and deeper realities about God and God's kingdom as we encounter them over and over again. And now I'm going to read from the full passage for this day, Matthew 13, verses 1 through 16. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Then the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And the moving forward question for this Monday, May 6th, is what parables do you find difficult, and which ones do you hold close? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, May 7th. It begins with a passage from Psalm 78, verse 4. We will recount to generations to come the praiseworthy deeds and the power of the Lord, and the wonderful works he has done. Here's the commentary. One of the best preachers I ever heard was a storyteller, but not in the way of peppering his sermons with personal illustrations. Instead, he was a storyteller in the way he made the biblical narrative come alive. Humans are meaning-making creatures, and one of the primary ways that we do that is by telling stories. The Psalms are the prayer book of the Hebrews, and so it might seem unusual for the body of this psalm, this prayer, to be a recounting of the story of the Exodus. Prayer, praise, and story appear to be different genres, but the psalmist merges them, using story to praise God's deeds. In our liturgical life, we tell the story of our faith in prayers, hymns, reading of Scripture, and homilies. But we are also called to tell that story more broadly. Every time we tell the story of how God has acted in the world and in our lives, it is an act of remembrance as well as an act of praise and thanksgiving. And now I'm going to read more from Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and that they should not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, how are you telling God's story through words and deeds? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, May 8th, which is the feast day of Julian of Norwich. It begins with a passage from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. As a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. The end of the world as we know it is on a lot of people's minds as we live with the effects of climate change, the fear of wars, and more virulent pandemics. Much of the entertainment and media we consume presents various apocalyptic scenarios, from zombies to nuclear fallout. People have been predicting the end of the world for a long time now, and it gives me comfort and hope to read spiritual writers from the 1950s and 1960s who address the fear of imminent nuclear war. As Christians, we are called to be faithful stewards of creation and people of peace. and to trust in God's plan for the fullness of time. In our broader culture, the apocalypse is portrayed as threatening and scary, but the letter to the Ephesians reminds us that God's ultimate plan is to gather up all of creation into Christ. We are called to act on behalf of creation and one another out of trust and hope, not out of fear. And now I'm going to read from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. And the moving forward question for this day is, reflect on this passage from Ephesians. How does it affect your perception of the apocalypse? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, May 9th, the day on which we celebrate Ascension Day. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 51. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. One of my friends claims that Jesus' ascension is even harder to believe than the resurrection. After all, for us today, the desire to see someone raised from the dead is understandable, but someone randomly flying into the sky is less explicable. But Jesus' contemporaries would have understood the ascension as signifying the deification of a noteworthy person. Both in Scripture and in contemporaneous sources, ascension stories were common. Although it might seem to present an outdated cosmology where heaven is up, the ascension is nonetheless theologically significant to us today. At the ascension, or exaltation, as it is referred to sometimes, the resurrected Christ is no longer bound by place or time, but becomes the Redeemer of all places and times. Because of Christ's ascension, we are no farther away from the events of the resurrection today than the first disciples were. Christ is not merely an historical figure, but someone who is present to us here and now. And now I'm going to read the full gospel for this day from Luke 24, verses 44 through 53. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. The moving forward question for this day is, do you struggle with the ascension? Reflect on the implications of Christ's ascension, both in biblical days and now. The commentary for Friday, May 10th, begins with a passage from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. Here's the commentary. One Sunday morning during our Christian formation time, an older woman who had been a churchgoer her whole life said, "I don't think I understand the concept of grace." I chuckled and responded, "I don't think I understand it either." In all seriousness, grace runs counter to the Protestant work ethic and the tenets of capitalism and can indeed be difficult to understand. We learn from a young age that people deserve what they get, both bad and good. The Christian narrative of grace, of God's love freely given to us while we were in a state of sin, does not compute. Every day I try to understand grace, to rest in the knowledge that nothing I do can either lose or win God's love for me. And I'll probably be trying to understand it for the rest of my life. No one can boast because grace is the free gift of God. And now I'm going to read this full passage from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. And the moving forward question for this Friday, May 10th, is grace a distant theological concept or a lived-in reality in your life? And how can you move toward a deeper understanding of God's grace? And the commentary for Saturday, May 11th, begins with a passage from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, Numbers 11, verse 17. I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people along with you, so that you will not bear it all by yourself. Scripture is very clear that we are not intended to do life or ministry alone. Even one of our great spiritual ancestors, the prophet Moses, had help. In this instant, God knew that Moses needed others to bear the burden of the people alongside him. It is common for leaders, both inside and outside of the church, to fall into the mentality of the lone wolf. We take pride in being independent and self-sufficient. This is also when leaders can experience burnout or commit misconduct. God has given us the gift of one another, of community, because we are designed to walk alongside each other, particularly when we are carrying heavy burdens. And now I'm going to read from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 16 and 17, and also 24 through 29. So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and have them take their place there with you. I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of the people along with you, so that you will not bear it all by yourself." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to them, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to them, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. And the moving forward question for this day is, what burden do you need help bearing? And who will call on you today to share the load? And now, as we reach the end of the program and the end of this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, May 12th. It is the seventh Sunday of Easter. The commentary begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 11. "And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." On the night before his passion and death, John's Gospel gives us what is known as Jesus' farewell discourse, which includes a prayer addressed to his Father in heaven on behalf of his disciples and us. I am struck by how Jesus the Father and the disciples are all intertwined in Jesus' prayer, that we know the Father by knowing Jesus and abiding in him. I am also struck by how far we are from Jesus' desire for us. Jesus prays for unity for his followers, and that our unity might mirror the bond between the Father and the Son. But Jesus' followers have been divided for millennia. In this period of decline in institutional Christianity, perhaps we can put aside some of what divides us from other Christians and seek to live into the unity that Jesus desires for us. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Gospel for this day, from John 17, verses 6 through 19. "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, May 12th, the seventh Sunday of Easter: what are some tangible ways you can work toward unity in the wider church? And that's all the time we have for today's edition of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of Forward Movement. Goodbye until next time.